Good morning and Merry Christmas. Good to see all of you. It's fun to have church the day after Christmas. All the tons of the kids in my family got fidget toys is what they're called. You might have seen the fidget spinners that you spin, but there's a whole bunch of different kinds of them. So this is our church's version of a fidget toy for all of us that we get to fumble around with later today, our communion elements. Well, we are continuing our two-week series called A True Family Christmas in Philippians chapter 2. Last week we read verses 1 through 4, and this week we're reading verses 5 through 11. So let's pray and we can get into the word. Father, thank you for blessing us with the birth of Jesus and how that has completely changed our lives and changed the course of human history. And we pray this morning that you speak to us in your word as you always do, but you remind us of what you've accomplished through your Son. So Lord, bless us, speak to us through your word and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 5 this morning. But before we do, the famous golfer Tiger Woods. It's gone viral these past couple weeks. I think it was last weekend maybe. He was playing golf with his son Charlie in a tournament. And so there's all these clips of him from this tournament and other tournaments compared to his son, them playing golf together. So I'll show you a couple of pictures. So you got the hand on the hip thing that they both share now. And they're leaning on their golf clubs, same outfit, staring down a putt, lining up that shot. Look at that backswing. My clubs don't go that far around my body. I don't know if you guys twist that way. I don't. The celebration, the iconic Tiger celebration. Well, you can tell that Charlie's been watching his dad all these years, his dad playing golf, and you can tell who was teaching him as he was growing up how to play golf and had all of his mannerisms and things that he copies from his dad. Well, being a follower of Jesus means using Jesus as our example how to live. Just like Charlie looking at his dad as he's growing up and learning from how his dad plays golf and how his dad handles the mental game of golf and the frustrations and the celebrations. As we grow in Jesus, we begin to look more and more like Jesus. And we begin to share more and more of Jesus' heart and his mind and his actions with him. And as we grow in the Lord, the more that people can see in us God's mannerisms. And the more that people see Jesus in us in the sense of that we're sharing in the qualities of Jesus and the mind, the heart, the actions, the words, etc. Last week we talked about how our church here, if you remember, this series is on our church as a family and us sharing specifically a reflection, because it's Christmas, a reflection on who Jesus is as a person and how that that impacts and informs who we are as a church, functioning as the body of Christ on this earth. We're functioning in the form of a family. And so last week we talked about how our church is called to be a loving family. And as a loving church family, we're receiving comfort directly from God through this church. And as a loving church family, God moves our hearts and minds to agree with one another or be like-minded with one another. And as a loving church family, we put others before ourselves, others in our church before ourselves. So now that we understand that, We understand our church here as a loving church family that receives comfort from God, that becomes more and more like-minded with one another, and we put others before ourselves. Now that we can see our church through that lens, our passage this morning shows the incarnate Jesus as our example. Incarnate just means in flesh. So the Jesus, his birth and him living, we can see how Jesus is our example of how to live like this loving family. So our passage this morning is entitled A Caring Family. As a church, we're caring for one another just as Jesus cared for us. So we can start in verse 5. We'll read through verse 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So verse 5 here in our passage begins with a command for us, a command directed at us so that we would hold a certain mindset, specifically the mindset of Jesus. And this mindset, as we read last week, specifically in verse 4, regards others as more important than ourselves. So Jesus is focused on the well-being of others over the well-being of himself. And we're modeling that mindset. We're following that mindset of Jesus. Now, if that sounds like a big ask to consider others in our church as more important than yourself, well, verse 6 points out that Jesus is God. Jesus has a divine nature, a divine form. That Jesus is God. And as God, obviously, Jesus is equal to God. And so if Jesus is God, equal to God, he's justified in considering himself to be equal to God, wouldn't you say? If he is God, he's justified in considering himself to be God and to act like he is God. But Jesus, even though he is God, even though that is true, he lays aside the glory that he deserves to be a servant to humanity, to the very people who deserve to be worshiping him. He lays aside the glory that he deserves to be a servant to us, to humanity. This is the incarnation. This is Jesus' his birth, becoming human, that Jesus takes on a human nature, a human form, in addition to his divine nature. Jesus is still God. He didn't cease being God. But when he came to this earth, he also became human in order to serve humanity and serve this world. Now, Jesus' birth is itself the model of humility for us in the church. Jesus choosing to be born a man is itself the model of humility for us in the church. If God goes out of his way to serve us, goes out of his way to put us first, then we also want to go out of our way to put others in this church first. If God is going out of his way to put us first, then we want to go out of our way to put others in this church first as well. I heard a story of two members of our congregation earlier this year, and one called the other up at like 2 a.m. and said that, you know, there's a personal emergency, and the other drove over to their house and spent the night taking care of that personal emergency all through the night and into the next morning, and drove around what was necessary, spending their own you know, time, skipping out on sleep all night long, spending their own money, spending, you know, obviously that's inconvenient to get woken up at 2 a.m. and go help someone else and bless them like that. But they did. And it was a huge blessing. The situation, I think, was taken care of at the time. But in the middle of the night, in our very own congregation, someone, you know, being able to be called in the night and come and sacrifice all of those things to help one another. A church filled with people going out of their way to help each other and to put each other's first follows the humility of Christ's birth. As Christ goes out of his way to humble himself and put humanity above himself, a church that humbles ourselves and puts others first follows the example of Christ. Now, at this church, in church, what this looks like is all of us being responsible for putting each other first and taking care of each other. So if that means that, you know, we run across a part of the building that's dirty or broken or something, and that means us taking the initiative to go and clean that or fix that so that nobody else has to deal with that situation in our church building. If that means seeing that someone in the congregation is uncomfortable and us recognizing that for some reason and or they're uncomfortable for some reason and us recognizing that and finding a solution for them while we're at church, or if someone at a church is in need, us figuring out how to get them what they need at the time, or us spending the time consistently before and after service digging in to get to know each and every person within our congregation, to understand what they're going through and talk to them and pray with them and build that connection between them. All of us within our church, if we're thinking in the mindset of Jesus, of putting others before ourselves, all of us are taking on the responsibility to go out of our way here within this church to help each other within the church. That not only that, within the church while we're in a church event like a service or something like that, but this mindset and our family as a church extends beyond just when we're here at service. So us going out of our way for each other is all of us staying in connection and meeting with each other outside of church and calling each other to check up on each other, calling each other when we need help outside of church and when we're in need outside of church, or being available for other people to call us when they're in need outside of church, and caring for people beyond just the time that we're here as well. Modeling that mindset of Jesus where we're desiring to go out of our way to put other people before ourselves because of our love for each other and because the love that we've received as Christ has done the same for us. And if for Jesus becoming a human to serve us wasn't enough, verse 8 points out that Jesus died for us as well. He didn't just become a human, he died for us. Jesus not only humbled himself by adding that human nature, but he took on death. Now, taking on a human nature, some of it was probably not ideal for God, but some of it, I would imagine, is enjoyable, taking on a human nature. I think there's enjoyable things about being human myself. But taking on death, not so enjoyable. Jesus honestly asked the Father for another option other than the death that he did. And to make it worse, Jesus' method of death, how he died, is crucifixion, which, as we know, as we read through the book of Luke, is gruesome. It's a horrible method. It's excruciating. So just becoming human is a form of God going way out of his way to humble himself and put others first. But then taking on death, an excruciating death, is another level of humility through obedience to God the Father, and through listening and hearing the direction of God the Father and following God the Father and submitting to God the Father. The purpose of Jesus' birth to die on our behalf is the model of sacrificial love and obedience to God that we practice in our church. Just as an example, one of the biggest debates that churches have is about like style of worship, singing worship that we do. So people have different opinions on like what kind of music you play and what kind of instruments you play, and whether you have fog machines and lasers or not, and you know, all different kinds of things. Just to narrow in on one of those specific debates is about should we be standing or sitting in church when we're singing. So just as some background, our current church policy is that we want you to express worship in song in a way that helps you most focus on worshiping and praising God. So if that means sitting in your chair, you know, with your head down and quietly praising him, or if that means standing up and having your hands raised and belting it out, hopefully on key, just kidding. Feel free to sing out of key. But if you belting it out or anything in between, you know, that's something that we welcome here, just as kind of a background. But different churches have different policies and restrictions or limitations on worship. Even us, we have some restrictions and limitations on what we do in worship to avoid distractions. And in the past, our very church has had different policies and restrictions on limiting worship. Now, putting restrictions or limitations on how we're expressing our worship in this corporate setting is not unbiblical. We're not restricting, any church isn't restricting you from worshiping God holistically, because worship goes far beyond just singing songs on Sunday morning. That is a part of worship, an important part of worship, but it goes far beyond that. It goes into your daily life, it goes into your job, it goes into your family time, it goes into your prayer time, it goes into your own singing in the shower time. You know, worshiping the Lord is far bigger than that. The church isn't trying to restrict any of that, but what we're doing here is very specific. This is a corporate worship service, meaning we're not individuals all trying to accomplish our own thing. We're a group, a family that is worshiping God together. We're all moving in the same direction. So any sort of limitations or restrictions that a church would put on the service, you know, standing, sitting, whatever, is all for the sake of we're going to be doing the same thing in the same direction. And those might change from time to time. Those might be adjusted from time to time depending on where the congregation's at and what God calls a church to. I mentioned what our current policy is. That could change in the future. It could not, just depending on what the Lord calls this church. The New Testament calls for order in corporate worship services. And different types of limitations and things help us create order. But whatever our policy is at any given time, I promise you this, it is not going to be the most ideal policy for every single person in our congregation. That some people, whatever, you know, we choose to do, some people are going to want to be and feeling passionate about doing something different. Now, if we're some sort of a business, the answer to that is just, we just leave. Hey, if I feel like this is not a good fit for me, I'm just going to leave the church. But we're not a business. We're a family. So as a family, we sacrifice what we want for the good of others. We sacrifice what would be ideal for us so that others can have that good, or others can have the ideal for them. And we not only do that, but we joyfully do that because we're submitting to the order that the Lord has for us. So in the church, sacrificial love is expressed when we let ourselves be uncomfortable, or we let ourselves be in need so that others in the church can get what they want or get what they need. We're giving up our wants so that other people can have their wants. We're giving up our needs so that other people can have their needs. And when we choose a church family, we're willing to submit to that church's authority as an extension of God's authority. Now, of course, we're all responsible to confirm that our church isn't asking anything unbiblical of us. If a church is asking you to sin or preaching heresy, then we're responsible to not follow in sin or in heresy. But with those things as an exception, the church is something that that God placed over us. And this isn't about the church having power or one person having power or authority or anything like that. It can't be like that because we're all here on our own free will. We're like nobody's forcing us to go there. So it's not about power grab or anything like that. This is just God's design for order. You hear it, that the Lord doesn't want a group of people all doing their own thing here. We saw the lens last week of like-mindedness, that we're all one together, one family moving in the same direction. So our goal is to work within that order and that structure, that church structure. And this design for order in the church allows for God to regularly speak and work through the church. So the church is responsible to correct us when we need correction and adjust how we're moving so that we stay on the path toward God. And the church is responsible to make decisions that we might disagree with. All of that not for the purpose of accomplishing anything that's of our own, but for the purpose of collectively obeying God. Now notice how this ramps up from verses 5 through 7 to verse 8. That the first step was, hey, Jesus goes out of his way to serve humanity. So we should go out of our way to help each other as well. The second step is not only that, Jesus died for humanity. So that's not just going out of his way anymore. That's making a unique sacrifice of obedience to God. Giving up what he would want or his own good so that someone else can have that good. And so we're not only as a church, as a caring family for one another, we're not only going out of our way to help other people, but we're actually giving up what we want or what we need in order for other people in our own very church to have what they want or need or have their needs met. That's a deep level of love and a deep level of reflecting who Christ is, that we would care that much about one another to treat each other with that love. Now in verse 9, it points out that the Father has a remarkable response to Jesus' humility and his sacrifice and his obedience to God. Jesus willingly puts others before himself. So the Father exalts Jesus above all others. Jesus humbles himself, puts others before himself, and God the Father's response to that is by raising Jesus up above all else. The Father gives Jesus the highest rank possible. Jesus' name above all names. That every knee will bow to Jesus. All heavenly beings will bow to Jesus. All those living on the earth will bow to Jesus. All those who are deceased will bow to Jesus. Every tongue will praise Jesus as Lord. When Jesus returns, whether you followed the Lord or not, you will be identifying and praising Jesus as Lord. Now, Jesus deserves this treatment. this level of exaltation just by being who he is, by being God. He deserves his name to be above all names, and he deserves this amount of praise and every knee bowing to him just because of who he is. But Jesus also deserves this by what he's done. That he lived in humility and lived in sacrifice and obedience. And by his, what he's accomplished, he deserves this praise as well. Jesus is our example of how we humble ourselves and let God raise us up. We humble ourselves and let God raise us up. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Brian was a guest preacher here. And if you remember, he was the pastor who ordained me. And I remember coming to meet with him after service one day in the middle of the sanctuary. And I was 18 years old, and I said, I think God has called me to be a pastor. And, where do I go from here? And do you have any guesses on what his response to me was? Are you sure? His response to me was, great, go grab a mop. The bathrooms need to be cleaned. his point being that those in the church who get raised up are the ones who are serving. And that is through my whole experience in ministry that has been unique every single step of the way. I remember the first main responsibility I had when I got ordained and came on staff there was groundskeeper. You know, you think you get ordained and you're like going to go do something, you know, super spiritual, and you're going to be like meeting with people and you're going to be like preaching to the masses and it's all going to be great. What was great was cutting that lawn. There was a lot of grass and a push mower and a lot of edge to weed eat and a lot of weeds to pull, you know? And that's my main responsibility. That's what I was ordained for. That's what I was brought on staff for, was to take care of the building. To this day, my main responsibilities at this church are whatever this church needs, whatever serving this church means or looks like. Those who become leaders in the church are just people who serve the church. And those who God raises up in the church are not those who are desiring of being over someone or desiring of getting appreciation or props or being desiring of greatness. Those that God raises up in the church are those who desire to serve God and serve others in the church even more. God raises people up so that we can serve each other. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God raises up those who are humble, those who want to serve and care for others in the church. Now, maybe you're not someone who has ever really desired to be raised up in the church, or you haven't desired any sort of leadership or, you know, any sort of position that's in front of people or anything like that. Maybe you're someone who withdraws from the church. You don't engage as much. You're kind of shy. You don't really want to be seen. You don't really want to put yourself out there as much. Don't feel comfortable volunteering in different situations. You don't know what you could bring to the table if you did. Now that group is called to this humility in Jesus just as much as any other group in the church. See, withdrawing from the church can be because you feel like you don't have anything to give the church, or it could be because you don't feel like the church has anything to give you, or it could be a variety of reasons that you would withdraw and kind of try to not be engaged. Either way, none of those reasons are true. If we humble ourselves as Christians and as part of a church family. We see Christians, we see that we're designed as Christians for the church, that God has uniquely gifted us to serve the church in ways that others are not gifted at. God has gifted you specifically in ways that he has not gifted other people in our church, so that you can use those gifts to share and serve others. And if you're struggling to figure out what those gifts might be, the church can help you figure out what those things are. But either way, whether you're someone who desires leadership, the answer is not to seek raising yourself up. The answer is to seek to serve others. And if you're someone who desires not being in the spotlight and not being seen at church and kind of blending in and not being too involved, the answer is still to humble yourself and to serve others. Either way, it's the same result, that we're caring, we're following Jesus' example to care for each other. You can't care for each other by trying to rule each other and put each other down. You can't care for each other by ignoring each other and withdrawing from each other. Caring for each other only comes from humbling ourselves and serving and helping one another. That's where caring for each other comes from. So you can see this progression. God becoming human, Jesus being born, is our example that we want to go out of our way to help each other in a church and care for each other. That Jesus' death takes that a step further. We don't want to just go out of our way. We want to sacrifice what's good for us for the good of other people in the church. We want to go above and beyond to help other people. And then the Lord wants to grow us and raise us up in a variety of different ways. And in that, the way to grow in the Lord, the way to be raised up in the Lord, the way to be exalted by God, is to serve others. It's to love and care and devote ourselves to serving others in the church. To summarize everything, we follow the model of Jesus as we humble ourselves and care for others in the church. Now, we read Luke 13, that as people are missing out on the kingdom of God, it becomes clear in verse 30 that indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. And in Matthew 30, Jesus goes on as he's responding to jealousy within his kingdom. He goes on to say, the last will be first and the first last, for many are called and few are chosen. So this upcoming year, as we're thinking about moving forward into 2022 as a church family, let's follow Jesus' example by caring for each other as he cared for us with his birth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we have joy from the joy of Jesus coming for us, how he humbled himself to serve us. God, we praise you for what a gift that is. And Father, we thank you for creating this structure, a local church like this, where we can be a church family who loves each other and cares for each other with the deep love and care that Jesus first modeled to us. So we thank you for this, Lord. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never trusted Jesus for salvation, if you've never believed Jesus as God, coming as a man to die for your sins, and he raises from the dead to give you eternal life, and you've never committed your life to that, I encourage you to do so this morning. But even if you haven't seen love and care modeled correctly for you by the church, you have seen this morning the love and care that Jesus has modeled for you. by coming for you and dying for you, sacrificing himself, humbling himself. So if you'd like to trust in Jesus for the first time this morning, if you're here in person, or if you're online, I encourage you to raise your hand so you can commit your life to Christ, and I'll pray for you. Anybody want to trust in Jesus for the first time this morning? Those of you who are raising your hands online, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these who are giving their lives to you this morning. I pray that you accept their life, that you forgive them. Give them grace, Lord. Give them eternal life. They trust in you and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second longer, if the Lord has spoken to you this morning about your care for your church family here, going out of your way to sacrifice and love and care for others in the church during services and beyond throughout the week, if the Lord has spoken to you and put a burden on your heart, I'd love to pray for you, for the Lord to encourage you in that. If you want to raise your hand. Amen. 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 Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else want to be included? Amen. Those of you raising your hands online, I'll include you in this prayer as well. Father, I thank you for these you've spoken to this morning. God, you care for us so deeply. You've called us to care for one another, called us to this church family. We thank you for how special this is. Not everybody in the world has experienced something like this. Many of us have not experienced something like this before. So God, I pray that you move through us, move through those who have heard your voice this morning and are excited about the great things that you plan to do through them to love and care for their church family here in the upcoming year. Lord, bless us and keep us. May your light shine upon us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.